You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Luka Doncic Trade Reaction. I mean, the Hoop Genius podcast. NBA 2K20. Guys, here's the thing. The Luka Doncic trade is the craziest trade that I've seen in my lifetime, right?
Okay.
And it just feels like after that, nothing is ever going to come close to being as insane or as exciting with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I know how girls feel when they go out on a date with Mo, because they have the night of their lives, and then after that, everything must just be dull. You know what I mean?
Boy,
you know what
man.
I mean?
Mo's
got traded.
Mo is coming out the blocks quick. He's like Usain Bolt. He's like Usain Bolt tonight. Today he's getting out the blocks real quick, huh?
Oh man, I'm just here to entertain the people. I'm just here to entertain the people. That's all. That's
okay.
But as nothing much else is happening in the NBA, you know, I'm excited for the Celtics-Cavs game tonight. But like, there is other games. You know, a lot of players are out, you know, because teams are shopping their trade value. They don't want them to pick up an injury. So a lot of the games that happen in this week running up to the trade deadline, I don't really view them as real games. So it gives me the chance to think more about the Luka Doncic deal. And Scott, I have a question for you in your experience as an executive, and BJ for you as well. There are a lot of executives around the league now who are reportedly furious that the Lakers were the only team allowed to bid for Luka Doncic. Does doing the deal in the way that Dallas did it damage the Mavericks' relationships with the 28 other teams who weren't involved and weren't asked for a bid for Luka Doncic?
Long-term, quick answer, no. And here's why. You just said it. There's only 30 teams in this league. So if you're an executive of a rival team who didn't get an opportunity to bid on Doncic, but 6 months from now, there's a deal on the table and there's a player that you like from the Dallas Mavericks that you want to acquire, you can't say, oh, we're not going to deal with Dallas because they didn't give us a chance to bid on Luka Doncic. That doesn't make any sense. That's not even responsible business. It's a finite group that you're working with 365 days a year, period. Now, can there be disagreements and things like that, disappointments along the way? Absolutely. But you never know when a potential deal that can help your ball club is going to involve a team that maybe, like you said, you're agitated with. But you got to do the best for the job that you can for where you're at. So burying and holding grudges against teams for months, years, that makes your job even that much more difficult. So at the end of the day, they all will get over it. People are just, and as you know, all of these comments are, no one's putting their names to those comments either. So you don't know who they are. That's just them speaking their frustration to media types. But at the end of the day, no. If there's a deal to be done with either the Lakers or Dallas Mavericks, and it's going to help my ball club, and even though I wasn't involved in it, I got to figure something out. That is your responsibility, your professional responsibility as a president and GM of a team.
Yeah, Kirk Goldsberry said that the Luka Doncic deal originally included multiple first-round picks, Dalton Connect, and more, but it was chiseled down after Rob Pelinka was able to convince Nico Harrison that taking on Luka Doncic was a big risk due to his weight and injury history. What do you guys think about that?
Scotty?
Yeah, no. Well, look, I mean,
as a negotiation.
Look, if I'm Rob Pelinka,
injury history, look,
exactly. Yeah,
Davis.
Yeah, right. If I'm Rob Pelinka, I can see him bringing up those points. And the fact that there's no guarantee that they're going to re-sign Luka, because Luka can be a free agent here in another year, after next year, I believe. So I'm sure he feels confident that they're going to be able to keep him in a Lakers uniform, but you just don't know. So when you're in a negotiation, you got to and the fact that he and Nico have a strong relationship, they can go back and forth and talk about the possible negative outcomes from both sides. Because to your point, the difference is in this situation, from what I understand, is that Dallas went to
The Lakers.
Lakers on this deal. So now, in going to the Lakers with this deal, and obviously targeting Anthony Davis, then the Dallas Mavericks are saying, this is who we want. They're comfortable with getting Anthony Davis. They've already processed his injury history, so to speak. Now, Rob Pelinka is just coming back as he probably slept on and said, oh, at first he might have been amenable to what all of that you were talking about, but then he probably went back and thought about it and said, hold on a minute here. If I give up all this and somehow it doesn't work out, things go bad, you can't just assume, yeah, you're getting this great player, but you can't just assume that everything's going to go great. You believe that it will, you're confident that it will, but you got to try to cover yourself the best you can. So I understand him doing that. And, good job by Rob and being able to do that and preserve some of the assets, if you will. I know they preserved one first round draft pick. Dalton Connect is a big keep, in my opinion, too, because I like that young player for this Laker team.
BJ, do you see a world in which Luka Doncic doesn't re-sign with the Lakers?
Of course. Of course. Yeah, of course. There's always a scenario in which that can occur. Always.
But do you
I
think it's
mean,
realistic?
of course. Now that the trade has been made, I'm going to give all of the future players, future NBA players, a little gem. You must have a short memory. You had a bad game last night, you have to move on. You had a bad quarter, move on. You had a bad play, move on. I'm done with the trade now. I'm moving on. Luka Doncic. LA is a different, this is a different animal. Just like Scott Perry understands, there are the other teams in the league, the other 28,
Yeah,
29
I
teams,
know where you're
and then
going
there's
here.
New York City.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Say that again. Yep.
Okay. Now, let me tell you something about this LA train. Whatever was going on in Dallas, we don't know. And I'm going to respect what I don't know. But whatever is happening out here in LA, we going to know.
That is true.
It absolutely is true. And we know right now that the LA fan base, they want to know everything. They going to know what time, they going to know Luka's game day routine. They going to know where he was out to dinner. They going to know everything, good and bad. So here we are now, what, 2 or 3 days after this initial trade. And I'm going to give everyone a little clue. Luka's never experienced anything like this coming out here to LA. This is a place where stars, where the stars, the greatest of the greatest, have played. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, the late great Kobe Bryant, Shaq, Jamal Wilkes, the
Wilt
logo
Chamberlain.
himself,
Wilt
yes, Wilt
Chamberlain.
Chamberlain,
England.
Jerry West.
West, exactly.
This is
Yeah.
where all the great ones have been. And you know what all them players did? They delivered. They delivered. So now here we are. Yes, he was in Dallas, but here we are now in LA. And you can ask any player that has played in LA, is this different? And they're going to say, yeah, this is a little different when you come out here. So I'm moving on because I love great players and I love these young players to perform. But now, instead of us talking about yesterday, and if we are really wanting to push this thing forward, now somebody better prepare this young man for what he's about to walk into. because this is not going to be easy here in LA. And by the way, what we should be asking Scott, because Scott was kind enough, now he's blessing us now 2 days in a row coming on the show. Scott, how difficult of a process is this going to be to build this team? Because this is not easy. And guess what we are all expecting here? Not to get to the NBA Finals. Not to just get to the conference finals. We're expecting to deliver what Mo is all about there in Boston. Deliver the last game of the season. They have to win the final game of the season. So, Scott, the trade has been made. I'm going to say this because we know this is true here. We keep it real here. Every team in the league changed their flight plans on the trade deadline. Oh,
everyone's terrified of getting traded now.
So, and first, everyone is like, what is Nico doing? And now everybody changed their flight plans. And Scott know how much that costs to change them flight plans. We keep it real here. When you start playing with people's money, then you got their attention. Why did every team change their flight plans? Mo, do your research. So let's stop acting like all of these teams, what's going on here? Oh, what happened in Dallas has everyone's attention.
No question.
Because everybody knows what it is now. This is the reset button. So, Scott, now let's start talking about the real here, because when the LA Lakers, which I probably got to go to the game here, because I got to find out what's going on. Because the Lakers say they about championships. Well, my money is to see how they're going to do it. And Scott, this is going to be very, very difficult, because draft picks, da-da-da, trade. What they going to do, Scott? Floor is yours.
Yeah. Well, first of all, obviously, in making this trade, you're making the both internal and external declaration that Luka Doncic is our guy. He's the next iteration of superstar in a Laker uniform. And we got to figure out a way to become champions with him as that centerpiece. Now, first thing you do, obviously, you got to analyze the strengths and weaknesses of the player himself. Okay?
Talk to him, Scott.
Yeah, you got
to talk to him, Scott.
Again, now, he hasn't been in your building long, so you just really going off today about either what your scouts have heard, what you've observed.
Well, your head coach has been his teammate previously.
And head coach has been his teammate. So you have some extra intel there. So look at the player. We talked about this yesterday. Phenomenal offensive player. Generational offensive talent. Not just for this generation, but previous generations. The guy is really, really good with the ball in his hand, and he's extremely ball dominant. That is not going to change. So now, okay, so you watched what they did in Dallas with that. And now you also know on the other end of the floor, to put it kindly, he's challenged at best. He has not been engaged on the defensive side of the floor for the majority of his career. I mean, that's just a fact. That's not a criticism. That is a fact, okay? So now you look at the team as they're currently constructed now. You got one of the greatest players of all time already there, who's 40 years old, but you basically have said to him, okay, we need you to be more Robin now than Batman. We need you to lead like a Batman, but hey, here's...
Scott, can I say something, Scott?
Yeah,
don't lose your thought. Can I say something?
Okay.
Every player has a journey where they are the best player on the team, and they may be the second best player on the team. They have to go to the bench. As Scott is constructing this team, let me assure you that Scott Perry has to answer this question in a way, because this is a delicate question. This is a delicate situation here. The replacement for the best player in the building is already in the building now.
Yes.
The best player on the team now is Luka Doncic today and moving forward. This is a new idea
Yeah.
for who has been playing the game for 20 plus years. The best player now is Luka Doncic, and he is in the building now. We don't know how that's going to work out. Is that correct, Scott?
Oh, that's what, yeah. I was no question. You do not know how this, that's going to go.
Now, because we don't know how that's going to play out, that's going to be a huge indicator of what someone like Scott Perry has to do. This is a very, very sophisticated situation that we are going to learn from, because everybody wants talent. Well, let me assure you this. The talent of Luka Doncic and LeBron James, they're elite. Here is the challenge. The late, great Kobe Bryant did it as the number one player on the team, and he won a championship as the perhaps the second best player on the team. No one has done it greater than Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan did it as the number one player on the team. He did it as the number two player on the team. By the end, I think championship five, he might have been the fifth best player on the team. Okay? Michael Jordan did it six times as the number one player on the team. But I remember when he was the second best player on the team in college, because Big Game James was the best player on the team on that particular championship run. You know what I want to see? We always make these arguments. I want to see LeBron James now. Okay, he's done it as the best player on the team. I want to see this. I want to see them two figure this out. And I want to see them. I want to see everyone accept the challenge to say, we're going to figure this thing out. Because right now, Luka has to be, because of the way he plays. Luka can't play without the ball.
No question.
Mo got so tired of me saying that. Mo knew the argument that I was going to say before I knew it. That's why
I just stopped mentioning Luka Doncic for like 6 months on this show.
Now we have to mention Luka. And what did I always say, Mo? He's not going to win a championship until he figures out what.
Yeah, who he's going to guard?
Who he's going to guard?
And here's the issue when we're talking about constructing the team right now. You got LeBron at 40 years old.
Yes.
Who's no longer the defender that he once was. And when LeBron, if we're not talking about LeBron 25 or 30, that you can match up with the best perimeter guy and he does a solid job on him. He's at 40 now. So he can't expend that kind of energy anymore defensively. Austin Reeves is on your perimeter, who is not a great defender by any means either. And Luka Doncic. Now, they're all going to be on the floor, and they got to play a lot. Now, you have makings of a very positive output offensively, but defensively, you're lacking on the perimeter. And in today's game,
that's a lot for Vanderbilt and Finney Smith.
Yeah. And especially in Jackson Hayes is your only center right now, and he is a backup or third center on most teams. So they are not done constructing this roster by any means, in my opinion. If you're going to, aspire to win a championship. But BJ hits it on the head. It always gets down to that personality mix and fit, and again, LeBron is a very knowledgeable basketball player. He's exhibited that over his entire 22 years career. Luka Doncic has a feel offensively, but it's been dominantly with the ball, and he's 25, 26 years old. That's not going to change. And it'd be interesting to see with LeBron. I've heard some pundits talking about, it makes it easier for LeBron. LeBron can catch and shoot more. Well, when has LeBron James' game ever been catch and shoot in 22 years? That's not his style of game. And then, or he can be cutting to the rim a lot. Okay, he'll pick and choose that. But again, at 40 years old, he's not going to be running up and down the court and trying to.
I think we'll see more LeBron
playing without the ball. You see more LeBron post-ups?
Yeah, so far this
season.
We'll
see, but he's going to have to play more.
Like, especially down the stretch against the Knicks the other night, you saw him just once Josh Hart was
straight to the block every time. He's gonna have to do that. But it's gonna be interesting. So in putting it together to put a bow on all this, you every day you're gonna be watching this personality mix as much as the talent mix. Like I said, the defensive thing is the lack of defense is obvious, and a lack of size on the interior is obvious. Okay, and just like the offensive prowess is obvious. But how is all that going to fit? And you're putting this on a first-time head coach. So look, we haven't thought about this. It's not like you give this Pat Riley, who has years and years of experience, or you know, even Eric Spoelstra, who's the coach there now, you know, that has experienced a lot of different personalities and had to mix and match a lot of different rosters over the years. J.J. Redick is not even halfway through his first season, or he's halfway through his first season. And now this is a huge shift in the dynamic for him as a coach. So how he handles that this too is going to be a big part of this coming together.
Well, you talk about Jackson Hayes being the only center on the roster. A few names have been flowing out there over the last couple of days now. Nick Claxton of the Brooklyn Nets, Rob Williams of the Time Lord of the Portland Trailblazers. But it seems like, you know, earlier in the show when I said the week of the trade deadline, basketball is not real because a lot of guys don't play because they don't want to get injured in case they're getting traded. It seems like DeAndre Ayton is trying to get traded because recently he's been putting up maybe the best basketball of his career so far. Last night he had a crazy game. What did he have? Let me pull up the game from last night. He put up a great stat line. 25 points and 20 rebounds in the overtime win for the Portland Trailblazers, who are starting to figure out a few things themselves. Who are the bigs that you're looking to target if you're the Los Angeles Lakers?
Well, I'm just going to give you the profile. You mentioned a couple of names. You mentioned like a Nick Claxton and those kind of guys. Guys that in today's game are known as
shot blocker and a lob finisher.
Rim runners, yeah. Lob catchers and all that, because the ball, you can't get a center, you know, like a, you know, I mean, obviously he's not available, but I'm saying like a Joel Embiid that you're going to need to play through down on the box, because the ball is going to be stuck outside with Luka, LeBron, and then if whatever's left, Austin Reeves on the perimeter. So I think you need a guy who definitely can anchor you defensively, for sure, has some athleticism, can catch lobs, and, screen and roll, go to the basket, willing and happy to play without the basketball, and a great focus defensively to clean up a lot that's going to need to be cleaned up when the team is beaten on dribble penetration on the perimeter. Rotations may not be as quick or as crisp as you need them to do. A guy who can make up for other people's mistakes. That's the kind of center they're going to need, in my opinion.
BJ, it sounds to me like they need to give our friend Bismack a call over there in LA.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. You know, GM extraordinaire Scott Perry calls a meeting. I come into the meeting and Scott says, hey guys, let's figure out how to construct a team, right? He's going to take the input. Mm-hmm. Clearly, yes. Scott is going to make the call. And then he's going to go around the room and everyone's mm-hmm. going to say, here are the players available. And then mm-hmm. he's going to get to that one guy, BJ Armstrong, and he's going to say, BJ, what do you think? And then I'm going to say, here's what I think. When you have two dynamic wing players, they must have the ability to attack that basket. And when you have a big, that eliminates their ability to attack the basket because you can only put that big in the dunker spot. Okay. I played with two guys who were extraordinary from the wing. And we had a center by committee to eliminate centers just sitting in the dunker spot. We also had the capability to go small. When I say small, we would play with more perimeter players so that the basket was always open. I would be very careful to add a shot blocker there who can only play in the dunker spot on the offensive end because it limits the ability of now your best player, Luka Doncic, to get to the basket because Luka is playing at a pace that he has to be able to get to the basket. So I would really look at players who could give them the proper spacing, because LeBron James, as Scott said, in his 40s, he's not breaking the defense down in the same way that he was doing it in his 20s. He may need to play from the post a little bit more. They may need to play screen roll together to figure out how to create that mismatch. I would be very careful to have a big playing there who's just going to be a big, because I don't like the spacing of this team as they play. Luka kind of does what Luka. I don't know what plays Luka's running. So let's just say Luka's going to be freestyle and everyone else is going to have to conform to give the spacing on the floor, because he's going to play in a way that's non-traditional at the lead guard position. Okay? He's going to play below the free throw line. As Scott knows, that makes me vulnerable in transition defense. Luka is going to some nights get 20 to 25 shots a night, which is going to compromise my transition defense. And then I got another guy who's going to do the exact same thing. So I would be very careful. I would be cautious to make sure that the executive, Scott, understands that. And then when it happens to us, that we're not sitting around here saying, well, what's going on? Why is this not working out? You cannot have centers who aren't dominant centers playing with great wing players. Let Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant be the example of what I'm referring to. Okay? Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, for the most part, they understood the first 40 minutes of the game, the big fella was the dominant force. And then in the last 4 minutes of the game, they had to figure out how to move Shaq. And because I'm familiar with that, they would go to their offensive set was called center opposite, meaning now our dominant player who was always on the strong side of the ball, late in the game, they would go opposite to highlight their most efficient player down the stretch who can make free throws in Kobe Bryant. They didn't do this in day one. They had to figure that out. But Shaq was still the number one option because the big fella needed to touch the ball. Later on, when Shaq wasn't on the team, they moved away from the center position altogether. So I think this is important to figure out how to build with the right player beside these two players, because they're playing a unique brand of basketball. And I think it should be something that we should take into consideration before we start doing the traditional, we need a shot blocker, we need a big who can do X, Y, and Z. Because I don't think that's going to be in their best interest as players.
And these are the kind of discussions you have with your staff. It's just very opinions. Like BJ is, you know, like obviously I went straight to the shot blocking and defensive end, because that appears to be a big hole for me. But then BJ being part of the staff is going to say, yeah, but this offensive end over here, that same guy could become a negative down there for us and could maybe not maximize our offensive abilities as a team.
But with Luka, you've seen.
Yeah, but he mentioned one thing, though, when he said, like, when he was with the Bulls, when he talked about center by committee. And where we're at with the, you know, the lack of centers today in the league, they probably need two guys.
There you go, Scotty.
One that does what BJ just described, kind of, you know, what they like to refer to as a stretch five today.
Talk to him, Scotty.
Yeah. And then the other one I'm describing, because look, it's not make it, take it basketball. You know, when we grew up, Mo, you play half court basketball, you make it, you keep it.
Win a check.
Well, the Lakers, you can't do that. We got to go to the other end and defend too.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm most worried about. So there's a balance. I like the idea of what BJ talked about. Committee, especially in today's game, where there's probably not one guy that could that addresses all
maybe
of those.
They need to call Kelly Olynyk. But the thing is, I never thought we'd have BJ Armstrong advocating for centers that shoot threes. But when you look at Luka Doncic and the way that he plays, you know, they tried the stretch big with Porzingis. It didn't work out too well.
Hold on, Mo. Let me get that out. Okay, all right, you can go. I got that out of my back, that little jab that you threw. I got
it. Exactly.
I'm just saying what the audience is thinking, okay? Okay.
Hey,
it's crazy because you said, let me get that out. And the way you adjusted,
you know what I, you know what I quake that this to, Mo? You know, I'm a boom bap guy. Go back to music. And then all of a sudden you throw in another beat, Mo. But because you are an MC, E-M-C-E-E, and the beat comes on, and you just got different flows. Now, the flow came. I just want to let you know, Mo, that I'm about winning. I'm about winning.
Okay. I didn't say there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. So I'm not advocating that. Now, if you ask me the way I prefer to play, I mean, that's another answer. But
the
BJ's
trying to clear his name now.
No. You got to be able to flow. You know, the beat came on, and all of a sudden, I can't say, stop the beat. That's not my beat. No, I got to flow with this. Mm-hmm. The trade has been made.
Yeah. Okay. So as I was saying, they tried the pick and pop thing with Porzingis. Didn't work too well. The Mavericks or Luka Doncic himself has had the most success with, as Scott described, the rim running bigs. Now they had Gafford and Lively. So they had 48 minutes at the center position of guys that will screen and roll to the hoop and be lob threats. So I understand what you're saying about spacing. However, when you think about Luka and Kyrie both needed the ball in their hands, so on and so forth, but they still managed to work with a big, and it's a lot of heavy screen roll offense rather than the big just being stood in the dunker spot.
The difference between Luka and Kyrie working versus Luka and LeBron is different, and BJ alluded to this point. See, Kyrie had been the number two to LeBron before in Cleveland when they won the championship, if you remember. This now is going to be the first time on the perimeter that LeBron is going to be the number two guy. And his skill set, while great, is different than Kyrie's. I would make the argument that Kyrie playing off the ball, if you just had a contest on catching and shoot threes that come off of that from Luka, is much better equipped to do that then say LeBron James is just going to be sitting out there night in and night out waiting on Luka to get it to him to shoot threes. LeBron has never played that way. Kyrie has played multiple ways throughout his career. So it'll be interesting. I'm not saying it can't be done, but that's what I'm going to be looking for.
I was just going to say, don't forget the 2011 finals where LeBron was the fifth option out there for the Heat. But
no, stop it.
Stop, Mo. Exactly. Mo.
Yeah, Mo. Somebody had to say it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think this is a challenging. I think it's going to require a great amount of like sophistication in the way they play.
Yep.
And this is going to sound. I know this is going to sound crazy, but Scott made a great point earlier. You know, when you coach a great player, it requires you to get out of his way. Mm-hmm. You got to get out of that. You got to allow that great player to be great. Well, this is a very unique situation for a first-time head coach. He's got to manage Luka Doncic and LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what's going to be very important here, Scott? You are who you are.
Right. No question.
You know what I mean? Like,
no question.
LeBron James' resume speaks for itself. Okay? Every year, Mo and all of us get over here and they've built a team, say, LeBron needs this to get to the finals because of his resume, right?
Okay. Absolutely. His resume hadn't gone anywhere either. Now.
His resume hasn't gone. Point well taken.
Exactly. So it ain't disappeared.
It's going to take a level of sophistication, Scott, I love math problems like this. Mm-hmm. Because, Scott, there's only one way you can do it. Mm-hmm. You have to study substitution patterns because you got to allow these players to be who they really are. Mm-hmm. Luka is who he is. LeBron is who he is, and you got to figure out in 48 minutes to allow them to be who they are, and then whichever one of them has it going to become the number one option because both of them are capable of carrying, right? LeBron has shown it. Luka has shown it. But you don't know which one is going to do it more frequently than the other. So I think, remember how Jerry Sloan, the late Jerry Sloan, used to always substitute where he would bring John Stockton out with like 8 minutes, 9 minutes in the first quarter. And I would like, why would he do that? He would bring him out and he would bring in the backup guard and he would allow the teams to kind of figure out what to play. And then he would bring John Stockton back to anchor the second team before he allowed him to play with Karl Malone and all these guys. And I always thought that was just brilliant. Then I would see Phil Jackson do the same thing with Scotty and Michael. Whichever one of them had it going, the other one would come out. And the other one would anchor the second team. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then a little side bit, when Michael would anchor the second unit, that means the rest of the guys weren't going to get shots because Michael.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, Mo. I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
But the result we got at the end. We got championships at the end, so it all worked out. Okay?
You know, just going back to the original trade proposal with Dalton Connect being included in the trade, I feel like he's one of the players who could actually benefit loads from this trade because when J.J. Redick, coach of the Lakers, was a teammate in Dallas of Luka Doncic, an action that they used to go to a lot was an inverse pick and pop where Luka would have the ball, J.J. would set the screen, and then flare for the three-point shot. I imagine off the bat, that's one of the things that J.J. is going to try and initiate implement into the offense with guys like Reeves and Donald Connect, because that way it gives you Luka matched up with a smaller defender, and most times, because Luka commands so much attention, a wide open three-point shot.
No, great point, Mo. And again, when you talk about building the team, they just expended a first-round draft pick on this guy, Dalton Connect, and you can't build an entire team off trades in free agency. You got to grow some talent internally. So it is incumbent upon, again, here, first-year head coach J.J. Redick with this talented rookie player that they have, you got to make sure he doesn't get lost in all this. They got to make sure he is a guy, in my opinion, moving forward that can put his hand in the pile and contribute to this team winning and winning in a big way moving forward. So that'll be interesting. Another point, you know, just listening to this conversation, because it is fascinating. I can go back to when LeBron first went to Miami. Now, it was a different circumstance. It wasn't a trade. Guys came together, free agency. But Dwayne Wade was the guy in Miami. He was the number one guy. He had won a championship there with Shaq, actually. And so I remember reading with Dwayne Wade saying at some point, because when you're trying to figure that out, you got these three all-star players, because let's not forget about Chris Bosh. He was the man in Toronto before he came down there. But LeBron was, you know, the elite of the elite on that group. But they were all trying to really figure their way out in that first half of the season. If you remember, they were like 500, I believe, the first 20, 25 games of the season, just trying to figure it out and not step on their toes. And I read where Dwayne Wade finally said and went to LeBron, look, man, you got to be the guy. You got to be the man. We're going to follow you this lead. And when he did that, that released LeBron James, eased the tension, and they were able to figure out and went on and won a couple championships together. So now, again, time is different. LeBron is 40 years old now, but you're going to need – it's those kind of personal interactions that are going to be hugely important if this thing is going to work with both LeBron and Luka. So let's see.
Yeah. Good. That's a great point, Scott. It is – this is going to be one of the more fascinating things to do because of the way this team is being constructed. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking about Connect, someone's going to have to defend. because right now, this is not a defensive group, okay? No disrespect. You know, I would ask Scott's permission. Can I go give him tape of the younger Klay Thompson, because we need somebody to take on that responsibility, okay? But Dwayne Wade, what he was able to do, I don't think Dwayne Wade got enough credit.
No question. No question.
For why. And I want to make sure that we here recognize what Dwayne Wade doing. When you play on a team, you have to figure out your role. Dwayne mm-hmm. Wade was, without question at that time, a top five player, right? He mm-hmm. was in the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. And remember now, the late, great Kobe Bryant was playing. And some were saying that Dwayne Wade was the best two guard
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
during that time. So Dwayne Wade mm-hmm. had earned that right to be the number one seed, the number yes. one option.
Yeah. Yes. And he was a champion.
Mm-hmm. And he was a champion.
Champion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Dwayne Wade had the awareness to figure out what was done to the one thing that brings us all together to win. And I mm-hmm. want to give him credit because that young man, I've watched him at Marquette. I remember when yes. Scott and I would argue about that draft. I can still remember Scott and I would, Scott would yeah. see him, and I can remember that. And I would see him, and mm-hmm. we watched this young man get to a point where he made that decision in the thick of his career.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That wasn't easy. So Dwayne Wade, that was phenomenal. Now mm-hmm. we're going to have to, one of these guys are going to have to make that decision. In my opinion, it's going to have to be LeBron James just based on age alone. And this is going to be new for LeBron. This mm-hmm. is going to be a new for a lot of people to do. However, if they're able to make this work, I will be the first to applaud because this is not going to be an easy path. This is going to be some bumps in the road. There's mm-hmm. going to be some questioning going on. However, the journey starts now mm-hmm. with this Laker organization. They've already made it. Let's move on because, guys, I will say this. This is a very unusual way to construct a team. Mm-hmm. Probably as different as I've seen in my career. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so fascinated in how it can work because Scott and I love to tinker. We love to tinker with things. You know, mm-hmm. it's like this reminds me, Scott, of you and I going to St. Cecilia. And then we got like 2 minutes to figure out who can play and who can't play.
Because, exactly. Did you just compare your teenage selves to LeBron yes. and Luka Doncic?
Scott Perry and I, we would walk in the gym and we would see Isaiah Thomas and George Gervin and Magic Johnson, and they had to pick teams. So yes, we can do that.
That
not many people can do that. Now George Gervin. Now, hey. As great of an offensive player as some of these guys Lucas, are, the Iceman is the only player that I know could say this, okay, that he had a shot for every occasion, and he meant it, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I can't say that about a lot of players over the years. So, yeah, Scott Barry and I can say that.
And George Gervin was a career 51% field goal shooter.
No, see, both.
See, everybody applauding guys in the 40s and all like that. And that included threes, too, because he played in the ABA.
Hey,
George Gervin. George Gervin's off night probably was 48%.
So, Mo, here's a stat. Here's a stat for all the statisticians here. Because I know, you know, a lot of guys, you know, to the stats, you know, because Mo would throw the stats. In that era, when you averaged 20 points a game, it meant something. Because guys were playing defense. I would be willing to bet that this is an era where I bet there are more people averaging 20 points a game now than any time in the history of the NBA because of the way that they play. I don't know that stat, but Mo, that's a stat. That's a stat for
yeah, you'd have to look it up because I think in the 80s, they had a really fast pace of play, so a lot of the game scores were higher.
But if you averaged 20 points a game in that era, you was like, whoa. In this era, everybody's averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah, you can be Kyle Kuzma.
That's you said that. I didn't say that. So what I'm saying is bro, you know, I'm just fascinated by all of this. I would be so excited to come to work because I don't know how this is really going to play out. I really don't, but I really would love to. I can't wait to see how they do it there in LA.
The reason I mentioned Kyle Kuzma, it's not random, is reported that he's in talks to be traded to the Milwaukee Bucks for Chris Middleton.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Kevin Durant also reportedly to be on a trade block, and we'll be bringing you all of the latest on tomorrow's show. So that's you guys it. Make sure you subscribe. Well, it's been an hour.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Scott comes on. You know, it's like someone comes in and make the conversation way more. You're like, what? The time went by?
It's been an hour. You know. I mean, we could do this all day.
Exactly.
Well, if you're listening and if you're working out, you just got an hour in and didn't even know it. So
I don't know if people can let me know. You guys let me know in the Discord or in the comments if you can work out while you listen to this podcast, because I'd be laughing way too much to take a workout. You know what I'm saying? I'd be laughing. But no, I appreciate you guys. If no trades happen tonight, tomorrow we'll take a look at how the Dallas Mavericks will construct their team. But maybe we'll see some moves as it goes.
Can we do this, Mo? Can we change our start time since everyone else has started their start time? Like, you know, they moved their flight times. So let's move our start time.
Me and Scott already agreed on Thursday we're changing the show time. Okay, so on Thursday, you guys listening, the show won't drop at the regular time on Thursday. It will be after the trade deadline has finished. So we can bring you everything you need to know from the NBA and what could well be one of the most insane trade deadlines in NBA history.
No question about it.
The last few have been pretty boring. I ain't gonna lie. The last few
going on. Well, it's gonna be hard to top this last trade, but we'll see. You never know.
You never know.
Never say never. Never say never.
When I see that notification for Kevin Durant going back to the Warriors, it might get a little crazy. So keep your phones on, fellas. I've made sure I've kept my schedule free this week. Just in case any trades break. I'm keeping my schedule open at all hours. I'm ready. You might have to do some emergency podcasts. Keep your phones on. Stay locked in.
Scott. Yeah. Please.
Hey, man. And I thank you guys, thank man. You, enjoyed it.
Scott, for coming on, because this is a treat. And our listeners appreciate it that we get a chance to have someone of your excellence to come here and talk with us, laugh with us. And we're all trying to figure out how to keep Mo on the tracks, you know, that's impossible. Yeah.
we did get some funny comments, right? We got one comment that said, Mo, if Luke can get traded, you better be careful BJ doesn't trade you. I said, unfortunately, I'm the GM of this show. You know what I'm saying? I'm the GM of this show. We had to improve the squad depth this week for the trade deadline. We had to bring Scott for the whole week. We did get one more comment, Scott, and this one was for you.
Okay, I'm sure.
The tenor said, Scott Perry is an NBA executive. Somebody get this man a HD webcam. I feel
Do I look that bad on here?
This
is an HD camera I'm using. I have too much light.
4K one like me, so you'll be looking crispy. See, I tried to get BJ. I even got BJ a 4K.
So you have a 4K
around here somewhere.
I sent BJ a 4K webcam.
Tell him I'm working on getting 4K. We're working on it because
I sent BJ a 4K webcam about 3 years ago.
Okay,
it's been 3 years. I think it's still in the box. He did not want to set it up. He didn't want to mess around with it. I even sent one of my friends to BJ's office to set it up for him. BJ wanted no parts of it.
Yeah,
he said he's good with the 720p MacBook webcam.
That's correct.
But if there are any computer or camera companies listening that can help us out here.
Exactly.
That can help BJ set up a little bit more of a technically advanced setup.
That's correct.
We'll make it happen. Don't worry, guys. You guys stay locked in, stay subscribing, stay sharing the show. We can make all these upgrades happen for you. And you know, I know a lot of people be listening to the show. We could even do this same show in a TV studio somewhere. That's all I'ma say.
Yes.
That's all I'ma say. Awesome. You know where to find us. Until next time, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff, and most importantly, get buckets.